Sherry Veltkamp will open us with prayer, and then we'll have the pledge.
We just come before your throne of grace this morning, O Heavenly Father, and we just thank you for all of these leaders. We thank you for this county. We thank you for this United States that we live in, that we still have the freedoms that we do. We just honor and glorify your name today. We ask, O Heavenly Father, that you will put your hand upon these leaders as they make decisions today. We ask, dear Lord, that you will keep your spirit of peace and discernment here in a very wise way and lead through wisdom. And we ask, dear Lord, that you will reach out to those who have need today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Thanks, Sherry. That was good. Okay. Before we get into meeting minutes, recognize former Commissioner Hershen. Welcome, sir. And we're ready for minutes 315 and 317. Anybody ready to approve those?
Yeah. Motion for approval.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries.
Accounts payable.
Yep.
I'd like to pull one more out. I haven't talked to Eddie about it, and we pulled it out before, and we haven't voted on it. It's check number 318098. I hadn't had a chance to talk to Eddie about it, and I wanted to do that. 318098.
And who's that for?
I believe it's for Aegis. I know we've got a lot of contracts. It's either the transfer station or planning the planning rework. I know there's been some invoices being sent in, and I'm a little, I wouldn't say, I just need clarification which one's applying to which project.
I looked at those this morning, and I believe each one of those are T Highway. Did you look at them very close, Dan?
I looked at the billings on them, but the one that... there's one on T, one on the transfer station, and one on the planning and zoning. So if, but they were all in stapled together in one bill.
And that's why I'm a little, I just need clarification because I know we just renewed a contract with Aegis on the transfer station, and I just want to match up to make sure that we're not.
Are those, when they're stamped together like that, and they're come out of different departments,
They do that.
They
I think
should
they
be
also
three
pay
checks.
One check. Maybe one check, maybe three checks. I'm not sure exactly. That's really part of what the whole conversation. It should be brief. I mean, it's just a, I should be able to find out pretty fast if it's an executive because of the contract or what. So
your desire is to pull all or hold on to all the Aegis?
Right. I think it's all just that one, but yeah, pull the Aegis
so
out.
It is one check. I'm sure that's
okay.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
I've got a couple of questions. I noticed we've got two reimbursements for our staff, one for a NACO delivery and another one for a trip for Verizon. Can you all explain those to me?
A trip.
Switching over contacts because you were unavailable when they came.
Correct. I was in D.C. when we did the contacts. Switchover. So that was when we sent, I think, Nikki or Jillian to the Verizon office to switch the data off the phones because I was not even here during that switchover when we went from Altel phones to Verizon phones.
So we had to, somebody had to go in person to the
yes.
Verizon office?
Our gentleman is now, I guess, out on sick leave?
Indefinitely.
Indefinite sick leave.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've got an axe to grind. I don't know why they came and went through all those other things in person and then asked us to make a trip to Branson.
What check number, and we can discuss that, what check is that?
Well, it was a reimbursement to Nikki.
Okay, what number is that?
I don't have a check number.
So we want to pull Nikki.
Excuse me, 318950.
Is it a mileage?
Yeah.
318.
just a small amount, $13.63. But let me back up. I don't want us to hold that check because Nikki was asked to go do it. I just wanted to know why.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want us to hold it. She's already made the trip.
Okay.
But I just wanted to understand why we're having to pay, I mean, what it was about. I mean, it was something kind of unique to me. And the other one was NACO delivery, and that one was for...
shipping some literature and boxes to our congresspeople that I met with. I was not able to bring it on my carry-on, and so I had them ship it. And then it was a Saturday delivery, which...
You used for the next week?
I used it for that Monday and Tuesday. I had no idea that Saturday the charges were going to be so high. The shipment itself wasn't much, but they charged a lot for the Saturday delivery.
Again, I don't want us to hold the check because Jillian, this one was for Jillian. She was sent over there or sent to Branson or where'd she go? I think it's like 50 miles.
It should have been either Branson or...
Anyway, I question both of those charges, but I don't want to hold the checks to them.
What I did is I had created some literature when I met with Congressman Blunt, Senator McCaskill, and Congresswoman Emerson, and there were large packets of projects that we were working on, such as the BioSolace Project, Faith Community Health Center, some literature from Silver Arch City, literature from Big Cedar Lodge, Branson Airport, and College of the Ozarks there. I think it's called a remembrance tour. So it was a pretty large packet of documents that were very heavy. And my hope was so they didn't get damaged or lost in flight, and knowing that it was well over 70 pounds of literature because paper and all that weighs so much. So I chose to ship it so that we could get it there. I could have it so I could deliver it when I had my one-on-one meetings with them.
I'm not understanding. You want the to come out of the IDA economic development? I don't understand where.
I think he just wanted clarification what the charges were, the reimbursements.
Yeah, the issue where it's being paid from was not.
No,
I just didn't understand what it was for. One other comment before we go there is just a comment. $131,220.55 is our TIF reimbursements this time around. I still don't like it. The voters voted for those funds to go to certain projects, and they're being diverted. Okay, I've got all my axes ground.
All right.
I'm not through with that one.
Okay, well, grind a while. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not satisfied. And is there, and maybe you can help me out, Bob, with this, the understanding of the TIF, if there is a, has already been a trial and a judgment made, and we're paying TIF proceeds to who?
To the city of Branson.
I know, but I mean,
if there's a TIF area that is created, and then there are improvements within that TIF area, and there are bonds that are that were used to cover the costs, those are reimbursed with proceeds from the TIF. The TIF proceeds, which is, you know, basically one half of the economic activity taxes that are new, and 100% of the pilots, the increase in the taxes. So those monies do go to reimburse the bonds or the expenditures that were made on the improvements. Your question has to do with the fact that certain areas down at the landing. On the Coverdell versus Empire case.
Even the business section, do those funds go to the city of Branson for their disbursement?
Or Yeah, they would go to the city of Branson for their reimbursement for their development costs. However, if they didn't own the property and didn't have control of the property, you know, I haven't even looked at this issue, but I mean, somebody may be able to litigate if they didn't own it, but that's currently under appeal. And it's not a sure thing.
Well,
I think everybody acknowledges that we're litigants to the case, that order, at least so I've heard, that there are certain areas included in that judgment that shouldn't have been, and I think the Belks area is one of them. I think there was a bed and breakfast and some railroad property, but I haven't spent any time with that case.
I know you haven't. We haven't asked you to. What I'm going to request is, do we pay the city of Branson for a the other part of the area is owned by the city of Branson,
mm-hmm,
and leased to the companies? Do we pay on something that isn't owned by the city of Branson, and do we pay TIF proceeds from that area?
I would say, you know, off the top of my head, I would say that you pay the TIF payments that reimburse the costs of the development in the TIF area, whether or not the city owns the property. I don't think it's required that they own the property if there's TIF improvements. But again, I haven't looked at this issue.
I know. Well, I think this there's nothing wrong with me bringing up the question. I believe the fact that this is in litigation complicates things, but we do not pay, or somebody pays taxes on the part that is not owned by the city of Branson versus the private owned development improvements. Am I right?
Again, if I looked at it, I think there's a possibility that they can actually repay some of the development costs on privately owned property that doesn't belong to the city of Branson in the TIF area. But I have to do that research, and I couldn't tell you the answer to that right now. If you want to try to withhold TIF payments, I think you need to enter into some litigation and maybe pay it into escrow or something like that. But I certainly wanted to look at it before I even gave any advice on anything.
Well, what
like
do you?
That.
What does my fellow commissioners? How are they as in the dark about this situation as I am? Because I understand that the city of Branson, an incorporated area, that does not pay the. We do not charge the real estate taxes to them, but it being a private development under the TIF, there is real estate taxes to be paid.
It may be that there are real estate taxes to be paid if the city of Branson doesn't own the property and hasn't owned the property. What our recourse would be to collect those taxes and how far back we could collect them if, in fact, Coverdell Enterprises or whatever the corporation is owned the property that Belk's department store is sitting on or part of Belk's is sitting on. Perhaps there are taxes due. Of course, the TIF would collect most of that. It would be the base rate would be set in the initial assessment year, which was a few years back. So any increase in the value due to Belk's department store going on that lot, 100% of the increase in the taxes would go to pay off the TIF. So, but there would be monies collected if a private entity owns it rather than the city of Branson. The city of Branson obviously is tax exempt.
Tax exempt.
All right.
That's where my whole argument came from. I should have started off that way,
okay.
I guess.
And I'd have to look at the situation. I mean, I understand where you're going, but...
I need to clarify where I'm coming from, because I understand a little bit of what you're speaking to, Danny, but my issue is different angle, and I've been speaking it for quite a long while, how much we're paying in TIFs to the city of Branson. And I don't have any issue with the city of Branson, the council, and the mayor, but we had the issue back years ago. I guess my biggest axe to grind is with the state statute. It allows a city to capture county revenue without the county's permission. But a county cannot capture city revenue without the city's permission. It's an unfair, it's unequal, I believe. And I think, bottom line, the county ought to have a say before those revenues are captured. We have four sales taxes in the county. We have a jail, we have a road and bridge, we have a sewer, and we have a general county revenue. Each one of those taxes were voted on by the voters of Taney County for those specific issues. Now, because of the TIF legislation, a city can come along and capture those taxes and use them for something else. And I don't think it's right. I don't think it's fair. I've said this before, say it again. If the county commission decided to use some of those sewer sales taxes for road and bridge, we'd be in heap big trouble. But because of the legislation that has not been changed, and we've talked about it, been to Jefferson City, one freshman legislator a year or two ago had a, Bob helped me a little bit with some legislation, got up there, and this guy had the same legislation. It's just one sentence change to make it fair, where a county had the right to either be in favor or not in favor of those TIF dollars being captured. That's my axe to grind. And how often is it, Rick? Does it come quarterly or monthly that we have these kind of expenses?
We pay out monthly on what's collected by DOR.
So we're looking at about $125,000 a month, round figures?
Actually, February is, as you guys know, because you look at the sales tax, it's down the month, normally is, so that's probably low compared to most months.
So we're talking $1 million in a year. Is that right?
Total.
That is being used for other purposes than what they voted on. That's my axe.
Chuck, if you remember when this...
Maybe better come up to the mic, Rick. And again, I have no axe to grind with our city...
I want to clarify.
They got stuck with it. I mean, it came to them.
I want to clarify that I had the same questions you had. And in fact, when we passed the law enforcement tax, because it was passed after, or the TIF passed after that, I withheld those taxes for 2-3 months. Bob checked into that. Bob said that there had been case studies that showed that they could collect those taxes just like they did the rest of them.
Doesn't seem logical because they didn't rely upon them to do their bonding because they weren't in existence at the time of the bonding, but yet the cases...
Even though Bob and I disagreed with it, some judge said it was okay, and we're going to have to abide by that unless somebody changes it. So,
did you have a question? You singled out the jail tax. Do you not have an issue with them capturing our sewer tax and our general county revenue and our road and bridge also?
To some degree, but the jail tax was even more so because we passed that after the TIF was there.
I agree, but you still don't like the sewer tax being captured, do you?
I think that was already substantiated that was the right way to do that, and on the other one, I didn't have that substantiation until Bob checked that for me.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, I didn't know we was going to go this far with it, but...
Well, I just think that it was... question need to be asked. I don't know that I got the answer because Bob said that he hadn't looked at it that far, but I'm not interested in paying taxes on something or somebody not paying taxes on something they should be paying taxes on.
Right. And we can look at that later.
Obviously,
sounds like you've got a genuine issue there.
Obviously, it needs to be looked at, but then again, the case is on appeal, so maybe they do and maybe they don't. The appellate court will speak. I believe it's been appealed, so that's part of the problem the assessor has right now is that one person's claiming that he needs to map it in their name, and of course, it's still on appeal, and it's kind of hard to know who owns it if the court says one thing and it's on appeal, so what does the assessor do?
Yep. Okay, I've drug this out. I'm responsible. Where are we on motion? Do we have a motion?
I had a motion. I don't know if it was.
Whoops. Helen's got something.
Was it second, Christy? I need
never seconded.
I'll second the motion to. Or no, I won't either. Never
just
mind.
Clarification, the check number that Jim quoted was one we wrote in January, and we also have one today. You're holding the one today also.
Yes, all okay. Aegis ones. I didn't have all of them.
Okay, because we have paid,
yeah.
You know, in between these two.
Yeah.
So 318098, and then the one today is 318927.
318927. Mm-hmm. Yes, I want to add that to my motion to
that's
withhold.
All right.
Just for...
Okay, how about a second?
I'll second that.
So we're withholding 318927.
And 318098, yes.
And I guess we're having a verbal discussion or on your issue?
No, I'm done talking.
You're done on the two that you brought forward? So you didn't
have
those
two? Oh, yeah, I'm not looking to hold
okay.
The checks
all right.
At all. Huh?
All right.
How about a second?
I'll second. I seconded the motion.
All right, any discussion, comment, radio? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Aye. Motion carries. All right, we've got journal entries, about four or five of them, I think. Ready to do those?
Yep. Motion to approve journal entries.
I'll second that. Any questions or comments? All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries. Okay, public comment.
Ron Hershen.
Ron?
I'll be very, very brief this morning. Ron Hershen, 1211 Highway F. As a past commissioner, I get questions about procedures in the county from time to time. Would appreciate clarification on the current road petition process. Not process, but are we in fact still considering roads to be taken in? I was asked by two people in the last 30 days that felt that we had somehow put road petitions on hold because of the current budget situation. And then I saw on the agenda for later this week that you have two petitions to come before the commission. So am I still correct in sending folks through the Road and Bridge Department as we've done in the past?
Ron, my comments has been that we're still open for taking on roads. There's been very much discussion about, in fact, same discussion when you were here, what's it cost us to maintain a road? And Frank's been working on answering that question. I think he's getting closer, but it's, in my mind, it's an issue up in the air. I mean, I don't think there's, we've stalled on a couple of roads for probably months now, waiting for an answer to that question, and we don't have that answer as of today. Do you all see it that way?
We've had discussion on this. And I guess there's maybe a different thought process among the three commissioners. I'm in for taking in the county roads at a different classification and improving as need be. If we take in, someone has a road that they want to take in to the county system, my reason for that is easements. Easements are hard to get in the west side of the county, easier to get on the east side of the county because usually we trade either some fencing work or something. People are more willing to give up road easements for the taxes they've paid for years. So I'm willing to take those in and make those improvements in classification as they come forward and are presented. But we go ahead and take the road into the county system in a Class 6 form.
Or four, if depending. I mean, it's the old, depending on what condition the road's in. So I'd be safe going back to these folks and saying, here's the process. Please submit a petition to the.
Just to kind of, yes. From the clarification, we've taken, I think, one road in this fiscal year. We've tabled two or three other ones. My position has been basically, how much is it going to cost us this year, next year, and forever? And so because that discussion, we've kind of just, we've tabled everyone since that discussion started, waiting for these numbers. So, but the process itself hasn't changed.
There is no current moratorium, and the process is the same.
Correct.
Great. Thank you very, very much. The second thing I had is, I came 4 weeks ago after I was quoted, or my name was in the newspaper over a lawsuit, and it was promised a copy of the lawsuit.
I thought one was sent to you.
No, sir. Never received it.
I asked one to be sent to you. I gave one.
That's okay. Fine. I just would like one. And
there's now an amended petition, and I
would like an update. If you could include there, Bob, just a note that said, here's your involvement, Ron, as we see it right now.
Okay.
That's all I needed. Thank you very, very much.
Other public comment? That it, Nikki?
No, I think we have one more, don't we?
Alicia Woody.
Alicia, yes, ma'am. Welcome.
Thank you. I've just got a brief statement, and it's good stuff. It's not bad stuff.
Good.
Hey. Two weeks ago, we had the announcement of the emergency management team put together some tornado information, bad weather. I called Melissa and set up a time with her and Chris to come to our office, and got all my people in the same room, and we went through, and we made a plan in case of bad weather. And I just wanted to encourage everybody out there to do that. They've done an amazing job. They came in, they looked through the entire office, they showed us the safe places that we need to be, an ideal place for everybody to go at once. If we were not able to make that point to get to other places that were safe in our facility. And we have 18 people in our office, so that's gathering a lot of little chicks underneath my wings to do that. But we set up a plan, and I just wanted to encourage all the other departments to do the same thing. Just be safe. You know, that's the biggest thing right now. I think Chris and Melissa both are doing an amazing job, and I just wanted you guys to know that. And everything went well on our drill, and our information's out there, and just keep up the good work. That's all I needed.
Thanks, Alicia. That was good. Appreciate that. There was a nice little comment about Chris in the radio website the other day. A lady had commented about his leadership. And
very good.
Very good. We're thankful to have Chris. Also, thankful to have our recorder back in the courthouse. Good to see you, sir. All right, that was it on public comment? Okay, we're ready for the collector's annual settlement. Did you bring any documents with you? That was just a joke. We see your documents on the table.
You want me to ask if you had
I looked at them, I sure did. Oh, two different pages. I only looked at two different pages, just two sheets.
Okay.
Sheila, as you start, would you kind of just recap what this is? I believe this is an annual event, correct? If you would, for those listening in, just... Okay.
Is our site working now, do you think?
I believe
Are we on now?
We're on again.
We had a little technical difficulty, but IS has got us going, looks like. Good deal.
I'm here to present the collector's annual settlement, and it's done according to Chapter 139 and 139.160 and 139.190. And first, I'd like to submit the collector's delinquent list, which is submitted as the person, and that's these little books here, the personal property delinquent list for the personal property and the land delinquent list for the real estate. And these lists are prepared according to statute 140.030. And I submitted the totals to the county clerk last week to certify that the delinquent list had been properly entered in the back tax book and filed with the Director of Revenue according to 140.050 and 080. And that's a delinquent list that we will be charged with, and we started collecting on as of March 1st of this year. If the county commission, and you have pages there in front of you, the total pages on the list. Which
document are we looking at?
You want to start with the personal property?
That'd be fine.
Gotcha. Okay. The personal property, I think I printed the individual totals and then the grand total. You've got 09, 08, and 07. Those are the totals that are owed to each entity. And then the grand total, the personal property delinquent book, it says for the tax year 2009, but that's the total page of all the years. It's $1,438,437.47.
Okay.
That's the total for all 3 years.
For all 3 years. And that's personal property. And on your grand total page, I gave you the individual total pages, and that's what, as we balance. Then that grand total page, you'll notice where I had to handwrite $9.04. That's where I had to reverse one. And then the total page, we couldn't get it out at that time to reflect it. And so then when I tried to run it, when the programmer got it, that $9.04 didn't include, so I hand-noted that. That represents the delinquent land list of personal property. And that's this little here.
Right.
The other page, those totals represent the delinquent real estate. And I meant to put the first page being the total page of all, which was $7 million, if that's your first page.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, the next page should be the 2009 total. Then 8, 7, 6, and 5. We have one delinquent for 2005. 5, 6, 7, and 8 will be on the tax sale this year, any of those that are unpaid the fourth Monday in August.
Okay, any questions there?
So that grand total reflects what's in this book right here.
Okay.
Now you've matched with the clerk's book also?
I gave the totals to the county clerk last week. I've not heard from her.
According to statute, though, you have to match with the clerk's.
She should take the totals that I gave her, and they should match the totals that she has. She wasn't in the office when I left them, and I don't know if she's here today or not. I'm sorry, I haven't. Is she here today? Okay, I haven't heard.
Okay.
From her.
But all you right. Do know that they match.
I know that our totals that we're charged with, when we go over the end of the month settlement, and I'll show you the process I intended to bring, and you might tell if any of my girls happen to be listening, if they'll bring me the year-end book where we balanced everything, and I'll answer any questions. It's the collector's job when we're charged with the totals to balance back by way of collections or delinquent or any abatements that's done, and come back to the delinquent book, and we did that on every year. And then I do not know if the clerk has taken my totals and matched with what she has done. I haven't seen her. Okay. Stopped in a couple of times. But
I mean, my question is, that is statutory, the statutory requirement that your books match hers.
Yes, sir.
But now, is that before your presentation to us, or is that after they've matched? So, yeah, what you're telling me, you don't know if they've matched or not. You haven't seen their book.
Well, let me ask you this question, Bob. From a procedure, statutory, all we're doing is accepting her report. Is that correct? We're not attesting to the balancing of the books or anything like that. All we're saying is that we're accepting her report as by statute.
That's correct. That's correct.
Okay, so But part of their requirements are that the clerk and the collectors need the ballots.
Right.
Okay. I just make sure that we,
You receive lots of statements from lots of different officials, and basically they're required to make an annual report or...
This is this.
Yeah.
Okay.
If on these delinquent books, if the county commission is satisfied and I ask them that according to statute 140.040 that they cause the list to be certified and filed in the office of the clerk of the county commission, the delinquent list. If you're satisfied with the delinquent list, statute 140.040 in quotation marks, cause the list to be certified and filed in the office of the clerk of the county commission.
I don't think that, you guys are going to go through every name on there. You've got to rely upon who gives it to you, and then you go ahead and certify it and send it to the clerk. Otherwise, you're going to be spending a lot of time looking at that.
Right, but we make a motion to accept. Is there a motion needed?
There isn't a motion needed.
She's saying yes, that you have to certify it and have it sent to the clerk's office.
It just says cause the list to be certified and filed in the office of the clerk of the county commission. That's so the words from the statute.
You're to cause it to be certified? Does it say by whom?
If the county commission is satisfied and finds no errors, they cause the list to be certified and filed in the office of the clerk of the county commission. That's 140.040.
Well, a motion that you know of no errors and none have been reported to you. Are there any errors that you have to report that would cause them not to be able to certify it?
No. Like I say, we balanced every year, and then we have to come back to each entity in that. It's a long process. And I sent, I think Don's going to bring me the book if you want to go over where we've, it print, this book is printed every payment.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, we take 1 year at a time and balance real estate and personal, then surtax, and then cities and each entity. And we print, we start with the total. We start with what we're charged with from these delinquent books. And we do our collections. And we give the county auditor and the county clerk a copy of the month-end report showing the collections. At the end of the month, then that's where the county clerk could take those collections from what she's charged me. The county auditor signs off on each check for a monthly.
So your position that these lists are ready to be certified by the county commission as far as your office is concerned?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Based upon that.
Okay, so I move that we certify the delinquent tax books as presented, knowing no errors. And move to the clerk's office.
Second.
Is that close?
Close enough.
Close enough.
Okay.
All right.
Questions and comments on that one? No. Mr. Hershen. Need to ask you to come up to the mic, Rob.
I have complete faith in Ms. Wyatt's ability, but it may... maybe prudent for y'all to contact Ms. Neely to see if she in fact thinks there's a discrepancy. She is charged by statute to keep her own set of books
matching,
and to verify that they're there. And so without that bit of information, I don't know what you're going to accomplish today. The second thing would be a question for Ms. Wyatt, just from the public standpoint. And that was just, did she see an increase this year in delinquent taxes? And what does that mean to the county in revenue other than a bigger tax sale? But the commission may not choose to address that.
I will. Thank you. I will address that. But once again, I think if you take this book and look at it, you can see it has a list of all the... what's delinquent. It has a list of all the abatements that have been done, and it has a list of the payments. And then the payments can be verified by, in my office or the county auditor's office, he has the end-of-the-month report with a list of every deposit that we made, offsetting for the payments and so forth. This is the delinquent book, then. I have the 2006 personal property taxes on that. I think your maybe your last sheet there. Do you have a on personal property?
Yes.
Okay, that total is abated under statute 140.730. They're over 3 years delinquent, and they're showing removed on the year-end settlement. When we go to that, you'll show that they have been removed as of February 24, 2010.
That shows here $123,685.70.
Mm-hmm. And the entities each would be listed that affects it.
To Ron's question, have you got any memory of how that would... Those taxes are lost, right?
Yes. That's personal property, and personal property is unsecured debt according to the bankruptcy courts and all that I work under. The real estate, as we go over, all of those taxes are secured and collected. There's a...
But compared to...
Last year, the year before, it's running pretty constant.
Okay.
To his
other point, Donna, does she keep a separate list that's different than your list at the present time?
There's Donna. You can ask her that question. Okay. On the 2000, I forgot what you said. I started to answer your question before that one, and I forgot what your question was.
Well, my question was the personal property is what is not secured, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you run out of time, then those taxes are lost.
Yes.
And I was just questioning how that compared to a year ago when that amount was lost, and you were guessing that it was
okay. I think
close.
I've got 2005 here. Just a moment. I didn't think of that.
Where the real estate is secured and and goes to a tax sale. So
it usually the third year runs pretty consistent, except the business is what makes it unsecured. If it's the real estates, I'm sorry, the vehicles, if it's individual, the vehicles, the license bureau helps us with that. It pretty secure if they want to get a tag. Your business personal property is... and I had a couple of months ago, and that's what I started saying a while ago, is I had one of the girls go through and to see what percentage of this was businesses in the market for me at that time. And it's your businesses that come in and go out of business, and if they leave after the first of the year and a tax bill's not came out yet, but they've been assessed, then I'm going to be charged when that bill comes out, but that business is gone. And it's the business personal that's usually... uncollectible. The only way to collect that would be to take them to court.
So basically, though, you know of no problems with the list that you're asking them to certify, and you want them to ask Donna if she keeps a separate list that's different than your list.
That's what you had asked me, and I said that we balance to this. I'm comfortable that this list is accurate because from what I was charged with, I've balanced back to it.
Any other?
Donna, the question they asked me was if, what was the question you asked me?
If she keeps a separate list that's different than your list.
And do we need to cross that bridge on this motion?
I don't believe so, because all we're doing is certifying the list that's presented, I believe. Is that correct? We're not responsible. And there's different statutes for different stages.
Right, but I mean, you had a speaker come to the podium and talk about a second list, which our auditor has talked about before, and there's a second list, and I mean, you can address that or not address that.
We can address it, sure.
Okay.
I've worked better, I know.
Glad you're up.
What we handle is we balance each time there's adjustments made to the tax book. Any adjustments that the collector makes, we verify those, make sure it balances, and that's the portion that we do. We don't keep the delinquent list because we don't have a separate database created. And we use one live database. And we adjust it, and Sheila adjusts it for state tax commission orders, if I haven't already. Usually state tax commissions are in protest, and so she has to adjust that fund. And then anything that either the commission or the Board of Equal
equalization.
Thank you. Does we adjust, and we currently are balancing. We have two individuals in the office who are doing that. One who checks the minutes to make sure nothing's being adjusted in the tax book that's inappropriate, and then the other person who's actually checking it. So we do have a check and balance in the office.
Cutting to the chase, you see no reason why the commission can't certify this to your office at the present time, correct? Okay.
That's where we're at.
All right.
The protest, let me explain that, is I don't make adjustments to the collector's book except by court order. The protest is a copy is sent to the collector to correct her database, a copy is sent to the clerk to correct her database, and a copy is sent to the assessor to correct his database so that we all can do our own books and then balance them back.
Okay. Very good. Any other questions, comments? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Now, the annual settlement you will have there in front of you, and if anyone wants a copy, and there's one, there's laying on the front pew there, if anyone wants a copy. The format of the settlement is prepared according to the Director of Revenue in the State Auditor's Office. The second page shows all the data for current taxes. The left side of the page lists the amount that the collector is charged with. The right side of the page first lists the collections, then the total taxes that remain delinquent, followed by the tax amount that's been abated off. We're on the second page, and we're looking at the current taxes. If I look at the 2009 land tax book, we collected 88% of the taxes we were charged for the 2009 year. Last year, that was 91%.
88 to 91, is that what you said?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Can I just ask, is there action required on this, and what statute are you...
Pardon?
Is there action?
Is there action required by the commission on this segment?
The settlement, I think it's entered into record. The settlement is entered into record, and then it's filed with the Department of Revenue.
Okay. By her...
You don't have to...
Just formalities. So by Sheila coming forward and presenting this as data...
You can read it into the record. You're not vouching for it or anything else. You're just reading it, having it spread in the record. So you can do that.
Do you want me to stop? And
no, you can just go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. I'll just...
Okay. On the 88%, if you take the SID that you see, I broke out your TIF and SID just kind of for my benefit, and I work with some entities on that it helps them. If I take the SID out of that equation, just a little trivia, then that collection becomes 89%. The next column is a 2009 personal tax book. 87.5% of the current personal property taxes were collected in the amount that was charged for. And I will note that on personal property, the totals change daily. Railroad and utility, the state determines most of those, and they assess those are all collected. The next column is protested taxes, and with my figuring, that's about 1.5% of what we were charged with.
Okay.
The surtax is on commercial property. If we go to the next page, is everyone okay with that? Third page deals with the delinquent taxes, the back taxes. And the format is the same as the others. Are there any questions on any of the taxes?
Questions? Okay.
I just... noted which your first page is on the real estate. I do this in preparing for the tax sale on the count. 2008, we had 1,960 delinquent accounts when we did a little trivia on that, too, on my 09 taxes, just to see if the dollar amount was reflecting like just so many large customers or if it was spread out over individual taxpayers. So dividing the amount of real estate tax bills we sent out and the amount that were due, the percentage came out just right at about the same.
Might be appropriate for a motion to include the annual statement in the record.
Okay.
And then I think you...
Okay.
Motion?
So Danny seconded my motion. Do we already vote on that? We vote on that. Okay, so a motion to enter into record the annual statement as presented by the collector.
Second. Any more discussion? Comment? Okay. All those in favor say aye.
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 Excuse me. Aye.
Okay. Do you want me to finish or do you want to just stop there?
Yeah, go ahead and finish.
It doesn't matter to me. Your last part of the first page is all of the other services that we collect in the collector's office and the accounts that they come under. You'll notice the interest and the delinquent interest. Delinquent interest is up 25% over last year. The delinquent interest is paid to the entities that we collect for. The retirement fund, the tax maintenance fund, and the penalty line all relate back to the delinquent interest. I'm just going down the line on those. On the same page, starting by the line where it says collections auctioneer, from there down, that's all county funds from the collections that we make. If you want to go to the first page, it accounts for the distribution of all monies collected. We collect the amount we're charged for with each taxpayer and pay the amount to the entity listed on the taxpayer's tax statement, deducting 1% per statute 52260.3, which is turned over to the county treasurer each month. We also deduct the calculated percentage for the assessor's fund. For the 2009 year, it was 0.008712%. The assessor calculates the amount the collector is to collect on his behalf and certifies the percentage to the collector per statute 137.720.3 and 137.721. On that front page, the amount of $413,823.81 on the middle right-hand side reflects the ratio charged each year. At the end of each month, the assessment fee is deposited with the county treasurer and goes into the assessor's account. The county clerk charges the collector to collect the taxes assessed by the assessor and reports this to the Department of Revenue. Any corrections are made throughout the year that alters the amount of taxes the collectors collect, the clerk reports to the Department of Revenue. When the collector's year-end settlement is submitted, the Department of Revenue has information necessary to review the statement. Are there any questions?
Yeah, I've got a couple. On the right side, mm-hmm. First page, about middle ways down, says commissions county,
yes.
717-878.
Yes. If we go to page 3, that's why I was noting, if you start on page 3 where it says by collections auctioneer, mm-hmm. and you go that page down, all of that goes to the county, and then the 1% that comes from all taxes collected that are referenced, that goes into the county commission, and that makes up the commission, the $717,000.
So that 717 is part of the 1%?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All fees and licenses are in that total.
And how about collector TMF?
Right, that's the tax maintenance fund, and that's held in a separate fund, and then when it gets to a certain amount, that goes in the county GCR also. It is the county's money, too. It's to operate the collector's office, but it when it comes to a certain amount, it goes into GCR.
What is that? What is that amount? There's a statute requirement, isn't there?
A half of the budget.
Half of whatever the budget
mm-hmm.
is, then.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions? Comments? Good report. Thank you.
If the commission is fully satisfied, I think you've already done this, just enter it into record, and I think we jumped the gun there a while ago and did that. And that's according to 139-190. And if any citizen would like a copy of the settlement, it's available in the collector's office. And if they have any questions, I'd just be more than happy for them to ask, and I wouldn't be offended at all. And I'd show them the collector's book and walk through the process and how it's all done so that they feel that they're being, their money's been put to good use. Excuse me. Thank you.
Very good. Thanks, Sheila.
We need a vote. We need a motion and a second, I believe.
Did we not vote?
I thought you voted on it. You all said aye.
Did we vote?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. You're a coffee drinker. That's right. Sorry about that.
Yeah, I didn't hardly speak.
Sorry about that.
Okay. Yep. Other business. Somebody want to announce the governor's going to be here?
Oh.
That might be something good to announce. What time was that?
Around noon. Around noon, 11:30 to noon. He's flying in, so we'll be having a press conference here, I believe. I think they're asking everyone to be in place by 11:30, and then he'll be here shortly after that.
Okay. Everybody's welcome. Other business? Okay. We're ready. Well, you want to take a couple-minute recess, and then we'll go back into administrative?
That's good.
Recess until 10 o'clock-ish. Thank you.